It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Wisconsin-based humanitarian relief worker never imagined he'd see the day when the brutal Assad regime would fall in his home country of Syria.
And then Mahmoud Shaya woke up to this on December 8th, 2024.
After 13 years of war and nearly 54 years in power, the Assad regime in Syria is out.
Rebel group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham announces the fall of the regime.
You can see the breath of freedom. This is absolutely amazing.
Tens of thousands of Syrians and their families are gathered here. They're celebrating what they're calling the Friday of Victory.
Former President Bashar al-Assad, who reigned with fear and brutality over Syrians for decades, fled to Moscow and the regime collapsed.
Now, over 6,000 miles away from war-torn Aleppo, Shaya's work here in Wisconsin is even more urgent.
Mahmoud Shaya is pursuing a master's degree at UW-Madison, focusing on rebuilding nations after war, and he joins us now. Mahmoud, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Take us back to that day on December 8th. What did it feel like to learn the Assad regime was no longer?
It was a historic moment. I felt I had a profound mix of emotions at that day. So Assad fell on December the 8th at 6:18 a.m. Syria time, while because I live in the U.S., we're 8 hours apart. So it happened actually on December 7th at 10:16. So I remember that moment, like right before Assad fell, I was turning on 3 TV channels, one of them on my phone. The other one was on the TV, and the other one was on my iPad, and I was just trying to see who was going to give me more up-to-date news first. So with that, when Assad fell, I was really shocked. I did not really know what to do. It was a historic moment ever in my life. I wanted to go and call everybody I knew in Syria or in Turkey, anybody. I wanted to call my father to tell him about it. It meant a lot. It meant that prisoners will be out. It means the country would function again. It means there would be no more fear, no more torture, a new chapter in Syria's history. It was a great moment that would never be forgotten.
Your father, who was born before Assad's iron fist, and remembers that time. And you said he considers him to be one of the oldest anti-Assad activists. What was your conversation like with your father?
When I told my father had a 2 minutes of silence. He immediately started whispering his prayers, and he said, "Thanks God, this is the end. New chapter is starting. I cannot really believe it. I cannot really believe it happened. I cannot thank God enough, honestly, that these people were able to get him out, and he's finally out. He felt that he would be a dictator for life. His slogans were always saying, Assad forever, Syria Assad. Now Syria is back to its people. No more Assad. We have our country." My father was very excited. He was very happy. My father witnessed all the atrocities that Assad did in the 80s, 1982 specifically, when there was a first revolution against Assad's atrocities in both Hama and Aleppo City, and my father witnessed that all. So it was a historic moment to him. My father kept not believing it for even after 2 weeks. He would come and tell me, "I can't believe it. I just cannot believe it. Is it real? He is gone?"
You are an American citizen, but you purposely call yourself a Syrian refugee. Why do you view yourself that way?
I always like to advocate for refugees and what they go through and the persecution that they face and witness. With every refugee, there is a story. Every refugee, there could be books about what they went through. And specifically with Syrian refugees, decades, 63 years of atrocities, 63 years of fear, 63 years of hopelessness, 63 years of missing future, of torture, of collective punishment is kind of like moves when people get out of the country and seek a new destination, running away from all of these issues they go through in their original countries and the trip or the trips that they take in order to get to their new destination. There's a lot of efforts that you have to do, and they have to adapt with their new community. So there's so much work, and there's so much that refugees face. So I always like to advocate for them, advocate for their rights, advocate for their integration with their new societies, and understanding them as well.
You have done tremendous amount of humanitarian work in Syria, everything from direct aid, like feeding families and building schools, working with the United Nations. You have also seen the horrors of war, the bombings. How do you deal with what Syria was to where you want it to be in the Syria of tomorrow?
With my experience, actually, like when I was working as a humanitarian activist, actually that was a shift in my future career. I grew up as a teacher, and my plan was to just go out of the country and live in one of the rich states in the Gulf countries, the Arab Gulf countries. So I chose to instead work as a humanitarian actor. I felt the responsibility to work, to serve people and help them with all sorts of projects that would make them cope with reality. So actually, that was where I was, and I have spent over a decade working with several NGOs, working on different projects with different stages of the emergency. And now I want to see all of these efforts go into practice when I see the new Syria. I want to mobilize all of those efforts that I gained and all of what other people gained as well to build Syria, open new chapter in Syria's history. Syria was independent in December 8th. That's where we need to be. And I feel there's a lot of responsibility on me and on every other person to rebuild the country, restore its social cohesion, and make it a functioning country again.
Do you feel that Syrians have the ability to be in service to each other, to be in service to so many cultures who make up Syria, and to have that ability to give and give back?
Syria is a unique country, and it's really different than so many other countries and nations around the world. Syria is a cosmopolitan country with so many ethnic groups and so many religions. Syria, like Aleppo, for example, is landmark in civilization. It's one of the oldest inhabited cities in the world, dated back to 5000 BC, Damascus 4000 BC. And we have many ethnic groups in Syria. We have the Arabs, we have the Kurds, we have the Roman Catholics, we have Syriac Christians, we have the Turkmen, and we have the Armenians who came to Syria as refugees in 1915. And with religions as well, we have the Yazidis, and we have the Druze, and we have the Muslims, the Alawites, and many others. And these have been there for thousands of years. There are a lot of cultural institutions in Syria. And I feel like from the first day of the revolution, there were a lot of people marching and saying, Syria is one, Syria is united. And I feel like this crisis that Syrians went through and all of this war will never stop Syrians from loving one another and supporting one another and standing up for one another. And that was really clear after Assad fell. We have seen that actually in reality on the news. And Syrians have given a great example to the world about Syria, about living together, about supporting one another. And I think that was a great indicator for a bright future of Syria.
We are talking with Mahmoud Shaya, a Syrian refugee pursuing a graduate degree in human ecology from UW-Madison, focusing on rebuilding nations after war. Mahmoud, you're getting your master's with a focus on this effort to rebuild nations. And, you know, that is, I would imagine, such a tremendously complex thing. What are your struggles that you see that Syrians face as they start this process?
There are a lot of struggles, actually, that Syrians are going through today. We have first collapsed institutions since the previous regime time. We have hospitals that are destroyed. We have 50% of our hospitals that are either partially or completely destroyed. We have around 42% of our schools that are destroyed, used for military purposes. We have 500 hospitals in Syria, but we have 100 former prisons in Syria as well. So we have one prison for every five hospitals. We had collapsed and corrupt police system. Justice and the legal system is also corrupt. There are all elements in Syria that makes it dysfunctional. And I feel like these are all challenges that we're facing today. Let's not also forget that Assad regime has drained Syria's resources, reserves. So there are so many of those that needs to be rebuilt. There are so many children who left the country when they were kids. They're out of school. They just spend their youth in sweatshops, working in factories. So all of these needs to be rebuilt. There are a lot of bridges. There are a lot of roads. There are a lot of airports that are dysfunctional. The military is collapsed, and there are everything that needs to start right from scratch. And I feel these are a lot of challenges that we need to work on. And finally, I would say the lira has lost its value. It lost like around 98% of its value throughout the war period. Industries are gone. Syria's GDP used to be around $80 billion a year, and then it moved into only reduced to like $18 billion throughout the years. Assad is just used to be turning Syria into a narco government or a narco state, where they will be like just the largest exporter of drugs and Captagon in the Middle East. And that caused a lot of issues to the neighborhood and the region, our countries, with all of their trade. He was using that trade to make money. He made around $40 to $58 billion annually from that trade. So there's a lot. We'll speak about trauma as well. We have children. We have around 17% of children with disabilities. We have 50% of children. Like recent researches show that around 53% of children have PTSD and trauma. And we have around 27% of people or youth who had some suicidal thoughts and some like anger. So there's sort of a lot of social issues that we have in Syria in addition to the infrastructure and reconstruction.
After Assad fell, your nightmares went away? You were able to sleep again?
With all normal businesses or work, you would go to work in the morning. When you come back, tomorrow is a new day. As a humanitarian actor, it's even worse, actually, because you are mentally working days and nights. So yes, I never stopped having dreams and nightmares, things about myself, things about Syria, things about children I used to work with, things about schools that I witnessed being destroyed. But yes, after Assad fell, I think it got much better. I started to see some brighter dreams. So that was a great turning point.
I'm wondering if you could dream for me, if you could pick one role in the rebuilding of Syria, what might it be?
It would be the education system. I think the education system has suffered a lot under Assad regime. Syria's education system would be the best to describe as a Soviet-style education. Everything is corrupt. Recruitment is based on connections to the Ba'ath Party. Everything that would be taught in school would be just glorifying Assad and the Ba'ath Party ideology. That was mostly it. We had quality of school was really bad. We had teachers who actually do not have the minimum skills of teaching, communicating with children. We had corporal punishments in schools. We have traumatized incidents going on with children throughout the days. If we even look at Syrian schools, they would be, the best way to describe them are prisons, little cells. We have big, dark rooms with windows that has some kind of jail type of windows, if I could say it. And children are not allowed to speak. There are 40 to 50 children per classroom teacher. Teacher would not understand anything of social, emotional learning. They would speak to the children in a way that is actually not professional. So there is a lot to work on. And we also need to remember there are a lot of children with disabilities. And during the regime time, we did not see inclusive education. We have around now 19 to 20% of children are children with disabilities inside Syria and youth. And we have every family has either a detained person, deceased person, a killed person. All of these people have created more and more traumas in Syria. So a lot of intervention need to happen. There were a lot of work that happened with the international community, with nonprofits working in Syria, which was great. But I think there is more to work on and rebuild.
There are reports that tens of millions of Syrians have returned since Assad's fall. Will you go back?
Yeah, absolutely. Although we have like estimations of around 14 million Syrians who are either internally displaced or refugees, there are around 7 million people as refugees. The United Nations estimated in February 2025 that around 250,000 Syrians have returned. So there are a lot of people who are still outside. And if we need to think about it, we need to make sure that we have the right environment for people to come. We need to see real justice system. We need to see justice due process. We need to see functioning, transparent police system who would not arrest and detain people. We need to see good education. We need to see key industries working again, operating again. We need to see the investors encouraged and to come back and rebuild the country.
Wisconsin, some people might hear this and think, they're a world away from Syria. They're a world away from what Syrians have gone through. How can they help this country rebuild?
I think the most important part would be advocating for lifting sanctions on Syria and help it recover and help it function again. Reviving key industries in Syria, infrastructure, building roads and others, and lifting or just getting the U.S. aid funding back to an extent that would actually help, at least in a way that would not be sudden, at least with a concrete planning to say, well, we're going to pull that fund out within 6 months or within a year and all of that. That would have actually helped. And also we have huge Syrian community in the United States, and we have some Syrians in Wisconsin just to empathize with them and just to learn more about Syria, understanding Syria, advocating for Syria, advocating for the social cohesion of Syria, viewing Syria as a country that is just ended long years of tyranny and is moving to a new country, just to help Syria with any efforts available.
Mahmoud, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Mahmoud Shaya is a Syrian refugee who immigrated to the U.S. in recent years. He's pursuing a graduate degree in human ecology at UW-Madison with a focus on rebuilding nations after war. This song is from his family of musicians back in Aleppo. It's called El Bilbil Navel.
شحد على بابي الدار قالت له الحلوة على أمك
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, meet the author of a guidebook on gulls who organizes the Gull Frolic on Lake Michigan.
We are literally looking into Wisconsin the entire day. We're outside chumming the gulls, bringing gulls in.
A premier gull-watching hotspot, that's next on WPR News.